Hello, everyone, and welcome to Skylark Opera Theater's very first podcast episode. We're so glad you're here with us, listening as we connect with you in this new and exciting way. If you're not familiar, Skylark Opera Theater's mission is to create an accessible and immersive opera and musical theater experience for people throughout the Twin Cities and beyond. And my name's Matt Belanger, and I'm a current board member with Skylark, and we're going to be doing these episodes periodically to update you on the happenings within our organization, to muse a little bit about where we came from and where we're headed, and to also update you on the happenings of our current season. And today, we'd like to start a little bit with history. And we're so happy to have Ann Spencer here. She's a past president of the Skylark Board, based in St. Paul, by the way. And she's also the longest serving board member with Skylark. Ann, thanks for being with us.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
You bet. So let's start with where Skylark Opera Theater came from. And it hasn't always gone by that name. And you told me it actually was founded by two women.
Yes, it was. It was founded in 1980. At that point, it was called Opera St. Paul. And it was founded by two visionary women named Virginia Harden Olson and Irma Wachtler. And they were both very involved in the local Metropolitan Opera auditions. Virginia was herself a trained opera singer and a voice teacher, and Irma was an ardent and very active volunteer.
And they saw a void, right?
They did,
in the community.
Exactly. And they came to realize we have such a wealth of vocal musical talent in this region of the country, and there really are not enough places for singers to perform, particularly younger singers. They've just gotten out of the conservatory, and particularly to do leading roles that really give them the seasoning that they need. So they saw a need for that, and they formed this company dedicated to the young local professional opera singer.
Mm-hmm. Skylark started as Opera St. Paul.
Opera St. Paul, that's correct. It's always had deep roots in St. Paul.
Yeah. And this organization throughout its years, and we're celebrating 40 years right now. We're going to talk more about that in a little bit. But this organization's always acted as somewhat of a stepping stone. You mentioned younger artists. And,
yes.
And that's a trend here. That's a valuable void that you are filling still to this day.
Yes, we are. Yes, we are. We're all always on the lookout for new talent. And in some cases, it will be a springboard to bigger opera houses. We've had singers go on to sing at the Metropolitan Opera and the Chicago Lyric.
Wow.
But even more and more, it's evolved so that it has become a performing home for people who don't necessarily want to leave the Twin Cities or leave Minnesota, but they want to be able to sing, and they want to be able to sing in a professional company in that sort of setting.
Yeah, it provides a kind of a variety of experiences for people, and they can kind of tailor it to what
Absolutely.
They need personally as
mm-hmm.
a performer.
Absolutely.
And then along the way, you're just entertaining all these audiences and having a great time, too, with the productions that you're doing.
Yes, yes. It's very satisfying.
So starting one of these organizations, it had to be kind of an undertaking. You don't just wake up and say, hey, let's start this group. There's a lot of work that has to be done to make that happen.
Oh, yes.
Was it tough in the beginning? I mean, even to find a place to put on the shows?
Well, I wasn't there at the very, very beginning. I joined the board in 1984. But yes, it's always a challenge. You want to find mm-hmm. a place that's the right size, has the right capacity, has the facilities you need.
And we still sometimes deal with
yes.
that today, don't we?
Yeah, so the Twin Cities is actually kind of lacking in performance spaces, so it's always a challenge to find a good spot to perform.
AKA, if you're listening and you have one of these spaces, let us know.
Yes,
we're on the hunt.
Do. Please
but,
do.
But some of the, I don't want to say that it's difficult, but because a new organization starting out is going to have its challenges, but some of that creates or inspires creativity. Right?
Yes.
If it's a difficult road, sometimes you think outside the box to
right.
get stuff done. And mm-hmm. I'm a new board member, and I have the privilege here of talking to somebody who's been around a long time and knows the organization really well. But I've already kind of got the feeling that that's something that this organization has that's very special. Its ability to adapt and to creatively respond to these things in order to put on these fantastic performances.
Yes, we like to think that we do. You do have to be flexible.
Yeah.
Yeah, you have to be flexible. And your artists have to be flexible as well. And that's part of the training that we offer, because that flexibility is very important.
Mm-hmm. So we might have a little treat for our viewers here in this first episode as we dip our toe in the water, talk about where Skylark came from. And in episode two, I think we'll venture a little bit more into where we're going in the future. But for now, we're going to go to the past. And back when Skylark Opera Theater was known as North Star Opera, am I getting that right?
Yes, that's
right. You put on a show, The Desert Song, and this was in 1993, and we're going to listen to a little bit here in just a moment, but set the stage for us, if you will. And this was an interesting production we were talking.
Yes. Well, The Desert Song is an incredibly lush, musically gorgeous, old-fashioned romantic operetta that was written in the 1920s. And I think it would probably be problematic to do it today because it revolves around the concept of a young woman stationed in French Morocco, and there's this bandit wandering around named the Red Shadow, and she has these romantic fantasies about the Red Shadow coming and kidnapping her and sweeping her away, which he eventually does. And also, it's a portrayal of Arab culture and Islam that is probably not acceptable today, but the music is absolutely fantastic. Beautiful stuff.
Do you bump into that a lot? Skylark does both opera in its truest sense, but also things that could qualify as musical theater, perhaps, and prides itself today on mm-hmm. blending the two mm-hmm. and making them accessible, mm-hmm. kind of updating them and immersing the audience in the experience. And we'll talk more about kind of our approach here in a little bit. But with these older pieces that are identified, as you said, as masterpieces, but the content kind of doesn't really fit to cultural norms today. You must bump into that a lot.
Yes, and that is one of the major challenges to the modern performing arts organization, particularly a company that does an art form such as opera, where most of the standard repertoire was written in the 18th or the 19th century, maybe the early 20th, and sensibilities are very different today. Mm-hmm. An example of that is Mozart's Così fan tutte, which we just did last March. It's about, basically, the title means women are like that, or women are fickle. And the premise is these two guys take a bet that they can disguise themselves and switch places and get their fiancés to switch their allegiance to the other guy.
Oh.
So it can be seen as misogynistic, but the way we did it, we turned it on its head and gave the women a lot of power in the relationship and tweaked the ending slightly set it in the modern day.
I'm sure the audience responded well to that.
They did.
They probably loved
that. Yeah, they did.
So we'll talk more about that unique approach that Skylark takes here, kind of updating these opera masterpieces from the past and making them a little more relatable for today. That's really what Skylark does best, and we're going to talk about that. But I do want to stay in 1993 here.
Okay.
And so we're opening up Act 2. This is the beginning. Let's listen in here from this performance, what was then North Star Opera in 1993, The Desert Song.
Thank you.
You hear that high note there, yes, and everybody gets chills.
Yes.
So what happened in the show right there?
Well, this is an example of why you might find it problematic to do this today.
Oh.
These two characters are having a bit of a debate with our hero, a character called the Red Shadow, who is really a French guy in disguise, about love. And these two are arguing that one woman is not enough for men.
Oh.
that if there's one flower that blooms in your garden, it'll just wither away. You need a lot of flowers in your garden.
Oh,
and
boy.
And our hero is saying, no, one alone is enough for me as long as it's the right one.
There you go. Wow. Okay, I see what you mean about the message
yes.
there. but just a beautiful musical moment
it's, yeah, it's
in the
incredible.
Show.
It's incredible. It's just luscious stuff.
And the young man who hit that high note, you said his name is, was it Connor?
Connor Smith.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes. Yes.
Fond memories of him. He's very talented.
Yes, he was fantastic.
And good tenor there. And speaking of the talent that moves through, we've talked about how this is often a starting point or a springboard
mm-hmm.
for people to launch mm-hmm. onto bigger, better things, or they're happy here in the Twin Cities,
right.
and this is their outlet. Mm-hmm. Talk about some people who've come and gone through that through the organization who you're just really fond of.
Well, it's just a point of pride that we have helped to give a start to some of the most prominent and the most skilled performers in town. One that comes to mind is Brad Greenwald, who has performed everywhere around town. He's one of the most well-known singer actors in the Twin Cities. He was cast right out of grad school at the U of M opera program in 1991. We did another operetta by Sigmund Romberg called The New Moon, and he played a character called Alexander, who was very popular with the ladies, and his nickname was Gorgeous Alexander. And we knew right away this guy was a dynamite talent. He could sing, he could act, he was super funny.
Wow.
We knew he was going places, and he did.
Wow. I'm sensing a theme here with the plots of these performances.
Well,
I don't know if anybody else picked up on that.
During the 90s and the early 2000s, we were known primarily as an operetta company.
Right,
so
right.
we did a lot of that repertoire.
So this was what we were doing.
Mm-hmm.
But anybody else come to mind or you wanted to highlight here?
Christina Baldwin and Jennifer Baldwin Peden, fabulous singing sisters in town.
Singing sisters?
Singing sisters.
Now that doesn't happen very
often. They're from a very musical family. I think they have six older brothers or something, and then these two girls came along, and they're all very musical. But Christina's a mezzo, and Jen is a soprano. And back in 2001, we did a piece by Leonard Bernstein called Wonderful Town about two sisters from Ohio who go to New York City and their further adventures. And
do they fall in love, too?
Not with each other.
Oh, well, right. But I'm sure they find love along the way.
Yes, they do. In fact, they both fall in love with the same guy.
There you go.
But
oh, no.
It all
wait, that just sunk in.
it all works out.
Oh.
Anyway, our then artistic director named Steve Stuckey cast them as playing the sisters.
Yeah.
And they were fantastic.
And they are sisters.
They are sisters,
and
they played
too.
Sisters. And the very next year, they were cast as two of the Andrews sisters by the History Theater, and they were the toast of the town, and they still are incredible artists.
Well, Anne, I love going down memory lane here with you and just kind of thinking back where Skylark has come from. And a lot of people probably don't know about the beginning of the organization. So thank you for being here and kind
so
of
welcome.
Covering that. I do have to ask. It's live theater.
Yes, it
and
is.
And so has anything ever, shall we say, gone wrong? Has there ever been an unpredictable moment in one of the performances over the years that maybe comes to mind?
We had a pig in the cast once, a live pig.
Yeah, wow. How did that go?
Did
the pig cooperate?
Sometimes. The operetta is called The Gypsy Bear, and it's set in Hungary, and one of the characters is a pig farmer, and he made his entrance carrying this pig, a piglet, really, maybe about the size of a month-old or two-month-old baby.
Oh, okay. Not just some huge,
waddling
pig across the stage.
A baby pig,
okay.
A piglet.
A really cute pig, I imagine.
Oh, yeah. She was super cute, super unpredictable. She had her own wrangler backstage and her own pen.
I can just imagine these board meetings back then. I bet you they were great talking about wrangling a pig.
She was wearing a diaper, and our character, played by Gary Briggle, another great local singer-actor, came on stage carrying this pig. Sometimes she squealed, and sometimes she tried to squirm out of his arms, and sometimes she behaved herself, and she always got a giant ovation.
Oh, of course. Yes. The audience probably loved that.
Oh, the audience loved it.
I'm sure Gary didn't like it.
Well,
sure.
You know, Gary's a trooper.
Yeah, he was doing it for the art, right?
That's right.
Anything else that sticks out? Just some moments as we reminisce here about the past. A lot of times, when you put these shows on, you have to have pretty ornate costumes and things, I imagine. I mean,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, costuming is a big important part of conveying the whole feeling of it. Well, back in 1987, we did La Boheme.
Oh, boy.
Over at O'Shaughnessy, and we had this wonderful baritone named Merle Freestad, who played Coline, who is one of the Bohemians.
Yeah.
And he ripped out the crotch of his pants during the performance.
Oh, no.
And it was very visible to the audience. And he went off stage. And
what do you do? I mean, I can't even imagine as a performer. You know,
I can't carry on, I guess.
I guess you do. The show must go on, right?
It must go on. There wasn't time for him to take off his pants and have them fixed before his next entrance.
Sure.
So our wardrobe assistant sewed up his pants while he was wearing them.
Oh, that's a delicate
procedure. It was
intense.
It was very tense.
Everyone was holding their breath. Wow. Look at that. You're taking my breath away, Anne. These are great stories, though, and I think they speak to the vibrancy of this local organization. You know, as we wrap up this first episode here, just one more thought maybe on how important it is to have a group like Skylark in our theater right now. What do you tell people when you meet people about why it's important to have Skylark here?
Because it provides something that's unique. Everything is in English. It's accessible. Mm-hmm. We try to keep our prices as affordable as possible. We're a service to the singing community as well as to the audience community. We do repertoire that nobody else does, mm-hmm. in a way that nobody else does it, so that it's up close and personal very intimate. And mm-hmm. I feel strongly in this era when people get so much entertainment electronically from screens that they really crave, in a live experience, something that is very personal, very in your face and very intimate.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we do.
And I think that is the perfect place to leave episode one. Anne Spencer, thank you so much for joining us to kind of pull back the curtain here on Skylark Opera Theater and to give us a glimpse into the past and tell us why this organization is so fantastic to have in our community. Thank you for spending some time with us.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure.
All right. So this is episode one of Skylark Opera Theater's podcast, and we hope you'll keep coming back. Anne's going to hang around. So if you'd like to continue listening for episode two, we're going to take another look at maybe a little bit of past, but I think we'll talk more about present day Skylark and what the organization does and the current season maybe coming up and also our big celebration. We have something 40 years to celebrate in our community. So that's coming up in episode two. Thanks for joining us, everyone.
Learn how you can support Skylark Opera Theater. Stay up to date with Skylark's latest productions and find ticket information online at skylarkopera.org. You can also like us on Facebook. Just search Skylark Opera Theater. Season 2 of The Bazness is now out. Join our new host, Jane Froiland, as she talks with performers, designers, puppet makers, and more about their process and making art in Minnesota. The Bazness was conceived and created by Sam Landman and returns for our second season with 11 new episodes available on all major listening platforms. Part Between Two Ferns, part Inside the Actor's Studio in all Minnesota, this is The Bazness.